This is a reading from the Gospel according to Mark, first chapter, starting at verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt about his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit set him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Open the ears of our heart, Lord. We so want to hear you. Amen. Before we get too far away from the Feast of the Epiphany, I thought it appropriate to think a little bit about the baptism of the Lord, one of those three themes that we focus on in the Epiphany. A friend of mine named Steve Chapman had a little contemporary Christian music group in the 70s called Dogwood, and he wrote a song about baptism, and I don't remember all the words to the song, but I jotted down a few lines that I remembered from it last night, things that I think are pretty poignant. "In my house, there's been a mercy killing." Listen to that phrase. "In my house, there's been a mercy killing. The man I used to be has been crucified." Another line I remember: "I'm going down to the Celebration River. I'm going to be buried alive." Another line I remembered is, "I'm going to take this dead man down to a water grave." The title of the song was Water Grave. I don't remember all of the song, how dependable its theology would be or whatever, but the vivid imagery lives in my heart to this day. A mercy killing, a water grave, being buried alive. And it's fascinating to me that Jesus, when he goes public with his ministry, images, prefigures his own death as part of his coming out. Really having a sense of where he was headed, I think, from the very beginning. And as we look back on that and see the baptism of Jesus through the lens of Paul's theology about baptism, about it being a burial, I wonder just what all Jesus' consciousness was as he went down to that river to be baptized. I wonder if phrases like water grave, mercy killing, buried alive might have come to his mind. I do think that we can probably know that he would have seen it through the lens of the Hebrew scriptures that he'd grown up with. He probably did see his immersion in that body of water through the lens of the flood when the whole earth was baptized. It went through that burial in water in order that it might be raised again. I think he probably saw it through the lens of the Red Sea when the children of Israel passed through a body of water that was about to mean imminent death for so many, that was and became their life. I wonder if he thought of creation, of the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep when everything was about to be called forth. You know, Jesus had to have been pretty familiar with various kinds of ritual washings. I didn't spend a lot of time revisiting this, but I looked at the ritual washings in Leviticus 13 through 17, several chapters there dealing with these ritual washings that were so much a part of Hebrew life, worship life. Numbers 19 also. But you know, it seemed like this earlier worship of the people of God, these washings really had to do with cleansing, with a sense of cleanliness, being clean before God. And there was something a little bit different about this baptism of John. It was a baptism of repentance. Repentance, of course, meaning a changing of mind, a changing of direction, new life coming out of death. And of course, we are called to follow him into that body of water, into that death. What happened to him? We just heard Karen read it from the Gospel of Mark. A number of things happened immediately. The Spirit of God descends on him. God speaks. The Father speaks. This is my Son, the Beloved. Because he's leaning into that which images his death. This pleases the Father. And then immediately, the Spirit compels him to go to the wilderness, to go to an uncomfortable place. Difficult things happen there. He's tempted. Difficult things happen spiritually. I love sermons that I've heard on that that analyze how those temptations are very similar to the kinds of temptations that we all end up facing in some way in our much smaller contexts. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We don't have a high priest who can't be touched, can't be moved by our temptations, but we have a high priest who has been tempted in every way as we have, yet without sin. But it's also difficult physically. It says he is with the wild beasts. I don't know what that all means, but I've been around wild beasts enough to know that they're dangerous. And then angels come and minister to him. Beautiful things happen as well. Difficult things spiritually, difficult things physically, and then beautiful things. This all resulting out of his baptism. And he calls us to follow him into that death. I'm so glad that we were asked to read the book, The Divine Embrace. He calls us to follow him into those waters, into that tomb that becomes a womb for our rebirth. We're called to remember our baptism. We're called to live in our baptism, just as Jesus has. And what will happen to us? If we do that painful thing, that horrible thing of embracing that water grave, the Spirit of God begins to descend upon us again and again and again. Every time we remember it, every time we choose by his grace to live in it. And that Holy Spirit will fill us. God will be pleased because he'll see his Son again, making that initial choice that brought life to all of us. But then we will join him in the fellowship of his sufferings. We will be tempted spiritually. We'll go through difficult times physically. But I believe that angels will come and minister to us in our hour of need, just like they did to him. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. It's a river in which we die and a river in which we are raised to eternal life, the gift of Jesus himself. Let's prepare our hearts for a season of silence.